If you guys were here Wednesday, you probably heard me share a little bit about this. Before camp, I was listening to some of Russell's prophecies. And in one of the prophecies, he was prophesying over us, over the youth group, and he said that he kept hearing a double portion, double portion, double portion. And then at camp, he was prophesying over me, but he was talking a lot about the youth group because we're connected. And he said from last year to this year, he said the youth group has doubled spiritually because the leaders have doubled spiritually. And listen, I'm not saying oh yeah, like the souls of leaders and it's like a title. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who say, I'm gonna follow Jesus, I'm gonna run after Jesus with everything I have. Those are the leaders. You can have a title and be completely behind someone who doesn't have a title spiritually. A title is just a title. The same thing goes for, listen, that's how you're gonna get promoted in your workplace. Some of you guys work, some of you are going to work after high school, right? Who's going to be a senior this year? Oh, my. Oh, my. You guys are going to be seniors, right? Some of you all seniors already work. But listen, you don't need the position or the title of manager to act like a manager. You don't need the title of the owner to act like the owner. Trust me, if you pick up on those qualities, you'll be the first one to be promoted. If you start acting like a manager, then be like, man, you know what? Let's make this guy a manager. If you start acting like the boss, they're going to make you the boss. Yeah. Same thing with spirituality. Keep pushing, keep going deeper and keep going deeper. And it's not for the title, but it's because, listen, sooner or later, you're going to look back and you're going to see all these people following. Yeah. They're going to be following because you've decided to go up that mountain. You've decided to pursue Jesus, and you decided to walk around the walls, and they fall, and you decided to go after the Goliaths in your life, and people are going to see that in your life, and they're going to want that. Yeah. Everyone has walls in their life. Everyone has Goliaths in their life, and they're looking for someone as an example. Now, ultimately, Jesus is that example, and we're following that, but people who don't know Jesus are looking at you. Yeah. They know you go to church. They know you went to youth camp, and they're watching. And they might ridicule you at first. They might say mean things, but listen, when they're tired of hiding behind their walls, when they're tired of getting beat up and being intimidated by the Goliaths in their life, they're not going to look to social media for help. They're not going to look to their teachers for help. They're going to look for you because you have the joy of God. You have the peace of God. Amen? Listen, every single one of us, we're called to be leaders. Every single one of us. And many times the things that hinder us is our perspective. Everyone say perspective. Many of us, we live our lives like this, all right? We live our lives like this, okay? You get up, sir. Hey, how you guys doing? We live our lives like this, all right? Everyone say perspective. This is my life right now. This is my life. All I see is some stinky feet. I'm kidding. Everyone say hypothetical. All right, let's pretend all these people are my problems, right? All these people, there's like 40 people in here, right? They're all my problems, right? All I see is what? Problems. All I see is problems. How big are my problems right now? They're big. If I barely get over, you guys see me? Hi. What do I see more of? More problems. Can you put up oh my gosh. It's in Isaiah. It talks about turn to your neighbor and say, do you got problems? Turn to your other neighbor and say, is all you see problems? Oh, man. Turn to my Isaiah 55 scripture.
Isaiah 55.
Is that your phone? Isaiah 55. Wow, this is interesting. This is a first for me. Hi, are you guys doing okay? Yeah? I'm doing okay, too. Thank you for asking. It's kind of stinky down here. Isaiah 55. I think I gave you guys the wrong scripture, but... Yeah, so I gave you guys 10 through 11, but we're starting in verse 8. I'm going to say verse 8. All right, well, let's read it together, right? 1, 2, 3. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. All right, pause right there. This is what it looks like to have your own thoughts and your own ways. Everything you see around you is situations and circumstances. This is life right now. I feel like it, guys, get close to me. It's okay. I don't think. Yeah, all of you, just get close to me. I feel like I'm drowning. It's getting really hot, all right? You take it easy, man. All right, I'll get away. All right, these are, I want to say problems and circumstances. They can feel very overwhelming. I want to say overwhelming. Has anybody felt like this before?
Yes.
Where it feels like all you see is problems, all you see is your circumstances, and they're bigger. They are bigger than you are. Let's keep reading. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor... Sorry. Yeah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher, I want to say higher. Higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And so this is what it looks like to meet Jesus and start living a life with him. Hey, there's an end to all of this. I don't see nothing but issues and circumstances. There's a coffee house out there. And does that make sense? All I had to do was change my perspective, and I could breathe better. Could breathe a lot better. I'm not staring at things. It feels great. My problems don't look big anymore, right? As a matter of fact, I can see how I can get out of my problems. If I just take some steps here, use a little wisdom here, follow God over here, and whew, it was warm down there actually, to be honest. Many of us, we just need a perspective change. If you keep living your life with your own thoughts, your own ways, you're going to go nowhere. You're going to go nowhere. Because your real purpose in life has been planned. All of us have a destiny to fulfill. And God created that destiny before there was even an earth. That's crazy. Before the foundations of the world. God already saw JoJo. He already saw Isabel. He already saw us and said, wow, like they're going to be born at this time, and this is what they're created to do. And many of us, we go through life, and my high school counselor is telling me to do this, and my math teacher said I'm really good at math, so I should be like an engineer, and my science teacher said I'm really good at chemistry, so I should be a chemist, and we're pulled in all different directions trying to figure out where am I going to be in life. Does it make sense? Can we go back to that scripture? Isaiah 50, did we end up having it up there? Isaiah 55, verse 8. You can go to verse 10 now. Check this out. And it's not like God's saying like, okay, like my ways and my thoughts are higher than your ways, and you have to like go up there and like reach for it, and you gotta pray harder, and you gotta read your Bible really hard. It's like, no, like if you read James, like you just like ask for wisdom and you'll receive. God doesn't hold back. God doesn't want to hold back. Like, okay, if a child goes to a father and says, like, hey, like, I have a problem with, like, this. What should I do? The father's going to be like, figure it out yourself. Or to go ask your teacher, or go ask, like, no, like, that father or that mother, they have wisdom to make that person's life better. Amen? And so don't be afraid to ask God, like, hard questions. Like, God, like, listen, one great thing. And don't freak out, all right? Don't freak out. But you ever met someone and you start liking them? I guess no one's met anyone and no one's ever liked anybody. like. I'm assuming you guys like people in general, or else you probably wouldn't be here, to be honest. But you ever met someone and you like them? Okay, check this out. I don't know about you guys, but if you met someone and like you start feeling like those like emotions and stuff, all right, the ooey-gooeys, right? I feel like an old man. The ooey gooeys. I want to say the ooey gooeys. Oh, I'm thinking of chocolate chips now. Anyways, so the ooey gooeys. Choco. Wouldn't it be great that in that moment you felt those ooey gooeys, you went to your prayer closet and said, Lord, before I get myself into a huge mess. Is she the one? Is he the one? It might be no. It might be wait. It might be silence. It might be yes. Right? In my past, I would have rather had a no on day one than 7 months later, I'm praying for hours and hours, not because I want God to give me an answer, but because I want to hear the answer that I want. Because I'm so emotionally invested, because I've crossed lines, and now I'm saying, God, just can you just say yes, because it's going to be too painful to retrace my steps, get out of the situation, and now once I'm out of the situation, I got to figure out who I am again. Is it making sense to anybody? Listen. I was telling you guys about perspective, right? I'm going to stand over here. Right, perspective, right? We need to make decisions in the long term, not in the short term. Right? We got to make decisions in the long term, not in the short term. Many of us, if I look back at my life and I'm honest with myself, many of my bad decisions were on the fly. They weren't like planned months ahead. They weren't planned weeks ahead. It was like, hey, we're going to hang out. Oh, we're alone. Oh, hey, we're in a house. Oh, crap. Sorry, I said crap. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Stop it. You guys listen to me? Many times our bad decisions aren't. I remember I think I just graduated high school. I really wanted a tablet. I didn't know why I wanted a tablet. I had a computer. I had a smartphone. I don't know why I needed a tablet. I had a MacBook Air and a phone, but I just wanted a tablet. I got a tablet, and 2 days later, I was like, I don't need a tablet. So I returned it, right? 2 years later, same thing. I want a tablet. I don't know why I want a tablet. I saw someone else with a tablet. I want a tablet. I get a tablet. A week later, I was like, I don't need a tablet, and I return it. I was acting on my emotions, not on long term, right? Long term, I was like, I don't need a tablet. Funny thing though is I think about a year after that, someone actually gave me a tablet, and then I use it. I actually use it. So don't tell me God doesn't care about the little things, all right? God definitely cares about the little things. But listen, we can't make decisions in the now, okay? We cannot make decisions in the now. That's how you compromise. That's how you compromise. I'm gonna sin a little bit here, and I'll be fine down the road. I'm going to sin a little bit here. I'm just gonna say this one lie, and I'll be good. I'll be good. I'll repent, and I won't do it again. But if you read Proverbs, there's a proverb, and Solomon is, who, everyone say perspective. Solomon is up on a window looking down at a street, and he sees a man. I think it says that he is devoid of understanding. Everyone say no wisdom. No wisdom. And he sees them, and he sees that he's walking to the street of a harlot. Walking to a street of a harlot. He walks down the street. She comes out. Number one, his feet weren't going where they were supposed to. She's married, by the way. So he's going, and she's like, hey, my husband's not here. Come inside. She comes inside. Things happen. Here's what the Bible says, that her bed leads to hell. Like an ox to the slaughter. And see, Solomon's trying to portray something. You think one decision is just one isolated decision. But Solomon says, when you come up here and you see your decisions, it's not one decision, it's a path. It's a journey. It's a lifestyle. Listen, guys, we don't have time to make compromises for something temporary. when I was praying about this last night, or a couple of nights ago, I felt like God gave me this metaphor. But let's say I told you guys, last Wednesday, I was like, hey guys, so I'm going to Disneyland on Friday for the first time ever, and it's actually the only time I'll ever be able to go to Disneyland. All right, so one day at Disneyland, that's all I have ever, okay? Everyone say, you only go to Disneyland once. That's me, all right? Let's pretend that's me, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So I go to Disneyland, I go there, and I come back, and you're like, hey, how'd it go? Like, what'd you do? It's like, okay, so I waited. It's like, I went there. I waited 15 minutes for It's a Small World, and I went on that. I waited like an hour for like the carousel. I did that. I used the restroom there too. I ate like the 3,000 calorie like burrito. What else did I do? I waited another hour for like Dumbo. I did Dumbo. I waited, and like I started going through these things, right? I didn't say that? Did I say Small World? Yeah, I think I said that, right? And then I went on Small World again like three more times, so that's another like 3 or 4 hours, right? And then I went home, right? You'd be like, oh my gosh, you missed out. Why didn't you go on Guardians of the Galaxy? Why didn't you go on Toy Story Mania? Why didn't you go on California Screaming? Why didn't you go on Big Thunder Mountain? It's like, the lines were too long. I don't want to wait an hour and a half for Toy Story Mania. What are you thinking? Oh my gosh. Like waiting 2 hours for Toy Story Mania beats all the times you went on Dumbo. Am I right? Does anybody here agree with me?
Yeah.
Right? If I did all of these things at Disneyland, but all I was able to do was just ride Dumbo, go on into Small World, and like do all like the kiddie rides, did I fully experience Disneyland?
No.
Many of us live our lives like that. Wow. We choose Dumbo over Guardians of the Galaxy because there's a 15-minute wait instead of an hour and a half wait. Oh. Right? Yeah. Listen, I don't care if I wait 3 hours for Toy Story Mania. I'm going to go to Toy Story Mania.
Right.
I'm going to go to Toy Story Mania. Listen, guys. Just because a single girl walks into your life, and you know you can get her to be your girlfriend in a week, what are you settling for? Are you going to settle for... I was going to say, are you settling for a Dumbo? Not calling him Dumbo, but a Dumbo. Does this make sense? Her name is Gomer. Gomer. You guys listen to me?
Yes. So good.
We have one life to live, guys. We have one life to live. And we make compromises and we choose things in life because they're easy and they're convenient. And then 30 years later, we're looking back in our lives and going, oh my gosh, I wasted my time on this relationship. I wasted my time on that. I wasted my time on that job. We need to be a youth that learns how to wait. Here's how we obtain God's promises, all right? Everyone say it with faith. And patience.
Patience.
I was listening to, it was like on Instagram, but it was a preacher. He said, you have faith and you believe, but just because you haven't received the promise doesn't mean you need to have more faith. Like if you're waiting for like a spouse and it's been like 3 years, it's not because you need more faith. You still need the faith and the patience. So in, you guys hear something cool?
Yeah.
It's connected. But listen, Jesus didn't start his ministry. He didn't go traveling. He didn't go heal everyone and speak to thousands and do all of these things. He didn't do that when he was 18. He didn't like, okay, once I'm 18, I'm going to get out of my parents' house and I'm going to go do what I want to do. No, it's not until he was 30. He was 30 years old. Everyone say 30 years old. Now here's a side note and a fun fact. I want to say fun fact. In the Old Testament, you had to be at least 30 years old to be a priest. You had to be at least 30 years. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 30 years old to be a priest. But more specifically, you had to be at least 30 years old to be able to go into like the Holy of Holies and into like the Ark of the Covenant and all these things. And so Jesus, like, he still followed the law. Like, he waited until he was 30 years old until like he got baptized and all these things. And so same thing, John the Baptist was only like 6 months younger, older or younger? Older than Jesus. So he was like 30 years old too. Let's take Joseph, for example. Everyone say Joseph. Joseph was 17. Everyone say 17. When his brothers sold him into slavery, he was a slave for like 12 years, 11 or 12 years. And then, as you guys know, the slave owner, slave owner's wife wanted to sleep with him. He says no, and he gets thrown to prison. For 13 years, he is a slave and a prisoner. For 13 years. And it's not until he is the age of 30, I want to say 30, that he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And he goes from being a prisoner to being second in command of the most powerful nation at that time. He literally has everything. All the land he wants. Actually, can you put up that scripture? It's in Genesis. This is crazy. It is so crazy. I think it's Genesis 49. Everyone say, Jesus, I love you. Genesis 45, verse 7 through 8. I'll read it for you guys, okay? This is what Joseph says, right? Like, his brothers come, and it's like this, it's a great story. Like, go read Genesis, like, 44 and 45. It's so great. It'll make your day. And it'll help you to wait. And God, this is what Joseph said. Joseph said this: God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. That's crazy. And Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Go read the story of Joseph. I'm serious. Because this guy, like, if you look at his life, it's such a great example of faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Because no matter what happened in Joseph's life, he was faithful. He remained sanctified and set apart. He remained faithful to God. And I'm thinking God's like just like watching this, like his whole life play for 13 years and going, oh my gosh, if he can be faithful when he has nothing, if he can be faithful to me when life has not been fair to him, I'm going to give him a great reward. If I can trust him when he has nothing, if he still loves me when he has nothing, he's going to love me when he has everything. And I'm telling you right now, if can you love God when you're single? Because if you can't love God right now that you're single, you're not going to love him when you're with someone. Can you love God right now that you don't have a job or you're struggling with money? If you can't love him now, then you won't love him when you have a good job. Can God trust you with the season that you're in right now? Can God trust you with the life you have right now? And recognize that many things that are happening are only temporary. All it takes is a perspective change. Mr. Cohen, you can come up now. During worship, I felt one thing I was feeling is I know we went to camp and I know we did all these things up at camp and stuff like that. But one thing I just felt led to do tonight, and we're not going to do an altar call. We'll all just come up and worship. But if this is you, when you come up to worship, I want you guys to have this mind. But I feel like a lot of people just need to recommit their lives to God. Not because you haven't been reading your Bible, not because you haven't been praying, but because you haven't committed your time to the Lord. You haven't committed your time to the Lord. There's so many things in our life that just suck up our time. Am I right? Social media, Netflix, talking on the phone, texting, right? There's so many things that suck up our time. And they're all designed to distract us from the one who loves us, the one who's going to show us the way. Listen, you put up Joshua 1:8 real quick. You guys want to be prosperous? You guys want to be successful in life? This is how you do it. You cannot ignore the word of God. This book of the law, I'm going to say the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. I want to say day and night. Man, many of you guys, the first thing you do in the day is you check your Instagram. And right before you go to bed, what do? Check your Instagram. You're a special case. That you may observe to do according. We don't just read it, we do it. Everyone say do it. Do all that is written in it. For then, everyone say then. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We make life so much more complicated than it actually is. We think we got to get this PhD and this master's degree and this bachelor's degree and my general education, and I need to go study this and go to New York and go to Paris and all these things. And we overcomplicate our life's path of how we're going to be successful. Even in spirituality too, I'm going to go to this conference so this person can pray for me. I'm going to go to this church because they have this. I'm going to go to that. And I'm going to go talk to this person so they can pray for me. We overcomplicate our lives in our attempt to be successful, in our attempt to be prosperous, in our attempt to be happy. And the great thing about Jesus is that all you need is Him for all the above. And there's already a way to Him. There's already a way. Listen, God didn't make your life complicated. You made your life complicated. God's not difficult. We're difficult. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.